Hey everyone, welcome to the Grief Informed Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Garcia, and this is a place where I bring you authentic conversations with people who are willing to share their journey through seasons of grief. No matter your cultural upbringing, societal conditioning, or faith practice, grief affects us all. Whether you're dealing with a loss, a diagnosis, a broken heart, or the everyday stressors of life, or love someone who is, these conversations are here to support you in that process. So be sure to check out the show notes for potential trigger warnings. And whether you're very comfortable with or deeply avoidant of grief and its many responses, you are welcome here. Thank you for being here, and now on to the episode. All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Grief Informed Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Garcia, and today I have with me Kristen Underwood, who is a motivational speaker, life coach, and soon-to-be published author of the book Uncomfortable Truths. Welcome to the Grief Informed Podcast, Kristen.
Hi, Rachel. How you doing?
I'm good.
Thanks for having me. Yeah, thanks for having me on.
And you're calling from?
Tampa, Florida. Not too far from you.
Not too far. I would say, I don't even want to guess. That's probably 13 hours, 13-hour drive.
Yeah.
So for everybody, I wanted to kind of give a how I found you was through Instagram. You had done a post with your mom, and you guys were talking about the process of the restorative work to reconcile old wounds that y'all kind of worked through together and navigated together from stuff from childhood and growing up, or how your relationship was for each of you. And that process, you both talked about what that was like for you. And I knew when I heard it, it was so powerful because your mother was so just, she was so honest and authentic and just real, which you are too. And I knew when I heard it, I was like, okay, I know that takes some serious work to get to that kind of what we call healing between relational healing. And I knew, okay, there's been some grief work done there. And you said shadow work. And I, so as soon as I saw that video, I immediately messaged you and was like, oh my goodness, this is powerful. Can you please tell me more. And we talked a little bit and I said, can you come on the podcast and talk about this? And shadow work is something you're really passionate about. So I knew we had to deep dive. So thank you for being here.
No, of course. Of course. I'm really excited. And it's really ironic at the time that you reached out to me. I was going through a lot of deep shadow work, which is why I kind of was like, okay, give me a moment. And I, you know, needed some time. So I really appreciate like your patience and giving me that time, because I'm really excited to speak with you today. But I was going through my own shadow work when you reached out to me.
Yeah. And I love that you were honest in saying you didn't reveal that immediately, but you were like, let me take some time. Let me think about it. But then later said you were kind of going through it. And I was like, wow, that makes me so much more understanding or appreciative of the fact that you are authentic to speaking your needs and saying, even in the work that you do, that you can say, yeah, I can do this, but not right this second, which was great.
Yes, learning those.
And so here we are.
Yeah. Learning those boundaries and speaking your truth is such a major part of this journey, as I'm sure you know. So it just feels good to honor yourself.
Absolutely. Okay. So before we deep dive into those truths, can you tell us about your cultural upbringing and background?
Yes. So grew up in Clearwater, Florida. So have been in Florida my whole life. And my mom and dad, we came together, but they weren't married for a long time. I think they got divorced around 18 months. I was 18 months, so I was really young. So I don't really remember having a mom and dad in the same household. Middle class, you know, African American family, and we lived in, you know, a predominantly, you know, white area, Caucasian area, and it was definitely growing up in the 90s and just trying to fit in, trying to find my way and trying to see like who I was. And I had, my mom was really emotionally kind of unavailable growing up. She was very work and getting things done. And then my dad, I was more connected to him emotionally, but he was absent and he was in and out of my life, wasn't consistent. And so between my mom's emotional unavailability, my dad's, you know, explosiveness. It was kind of rough. It was kind of rough navigating my feelings and emotions. And so I had a lot of things that happened and a lot of pent up stuff over the years. And yeah, it's led to a lot. But
and then that led you, which we'll get into, the work that you do now, your own work, inner work with in doing the shadow work is what led you to being able to help other people. Okay. And then do you know your Enneagram number?
I do. So a three.
Yeah. That is amazing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love. And I said, when you told me you were, that you tested as a three, my oldest son is a three. So I'm very familiar with the threes. And, I know that you, having read just a little bit, did what resonated that you saw from the three?
Oh no. Just like, the challenges. I think that was the one that was, I think it was the initial, because there was three that I looked at, the helper, and I think it was the challenge seeker, the achiever, something like that. And it definitely resonated. The achiever, that's what it was. Yeah. And it really resonated because I'm like, that is me. I do hold myself to a high standard. I do have these like expectations, and I have this big, I feel in my heart, like this big calling. And so definitely wanting that success, that recognition, and to really step into who I am. It was spot on. I really love that.
Yeah. Do you find, okay, so one of the things I love about the Enneagram is that when it shows what you're really good at, but it shows what happens when you're in stress. And mm-hmm. I've seen that the threes tend to go to nine, or they do go to nine in stress, which the threes are the achiever. Literally the thing that you're most known for is being able to just have a vision and go and mm-hmm. execution. But when in stress,
oh my God,
apathy.
Yeah. And just freeze and I don't care. And just like, it's definitely spot on.
Yeah. I didn't like getting, when I was looking at the two, which is my number, I'm seeing what I go to in stress is not, it wasn't shadow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Give me the shadow.
That's the shadow work. Yeah. That's the shadow work right there.
Yeah. Which is a great segue. Can you tell us what is shadow work, or what is our shadow?
So the shadow is like a subconscious part of ourself that we created typically in childhood, but doesn't have to be limited to a persona or an aspect of ourselves that we think is lovable. And so then there's certain parts that we shove down that become the shadow. And that could be like anger, not being able to express our anger growing up. That could be codependency, having codependency with our parents, these parts of us that we have insecurities around. So that's essentially what it is. Our shadow self is these insecurities that we shove down because we have been conditioned to think by our caretaker society that these parts of us are not lovable. Mm. And if we show these parts, love will not be available to us.
Yeah. Can you give us an example of that? Besides, I know you said you have anger, or what's a part we might want to hide?
Yeah. So for me, that growing up, I had an extremely, explosive father. And so whenever I tried to speak my truth or I was angry, he would be even more angry and loud and scream. And so that really suppressed my anger. So then my anger became the shadow part of me. It's not safe to express my anger. I'm not allowed to express my anger. My anger makes dad even more upset. So I shoved it down and I created a persona of always being happy, the class clown. And so then the anger obviously is still there and warranted, and I'm a human, right? So when I would get into relationships and someone would get close to an insecurity or close to something, or I felt like I was going to get abandoned, that anger would come out explosive. And who would I look like? My father. Mm. And it was such a scary part of me that, didn't come out often, but it was there. And that part of me needed love and not criticism. So that's like an example of like your shadow aspect that I'm sure a lot of people can relate to.
Yeah, absolutely. And when might we, and you mentioned we might notice that we have shadow when we're, having a explosive outburst, or what are some other ways we might recognize, I might have some shadow I have to look at?
Yeah, so when confrontation comes up, or say it comes time where you need to speak up for yourself, someone crossed the boundary and you feel something, a big shadow aspect is avoidance, where so many people just avoid their truth because they're scared of what their truth is going to make other people feel. Mm-hmm. And so that also leads into codependency. And so you'll see a lot of these shadows that you'll start to uncover intertwine and overlap with each other. So maybe staying quiet and just suppressing yourself and just telling yourself that it doesn't matter that much, even though you continue to ruminate on it. Mm-hmm. Feeling responsible for someone's reaction to your truth. So you literally feel anxiety because you know that if you speak up, this person may feel shame because you're acknowledging something that they've done, or anger. So right. You're taking on their emotions.
There's a lot. Yeah. And the events or circumstances where we might be invited to look at shadow, I know can come up with hard conversations or transitions that you're going through, breakups or relational dynamics that are spinning. And I know it's important to say that most of the people that, and myself included, that meet our shadow are usually confronted it with when our patterns are hard to ignore, or that we recognize self-sabotage in our behaviors and our patternings with relating to others, with money, with whatever that we're seeing, that some of our coping and our patterns are creating more problems. That might be an invitation, or that could be the invitation to look at what is lying.
It's usually our pain. It's our pain. We have to feel enough pain as humans to finally wake up and say, I want to look at this deeper. I am tired of feeling this. I've had enough. I've hit the wall. And what is it? Let me look deeper. Let me look in that mirror. And that's where you start to discover all the patterns, the core limited beliefs, and you understand on a deeper level why you behave the way you behave.
Right. And it's not kind of like, I'm grabbing my face, like in so much compassion, because when you want to enter into shadow, unfortunately, it's not a one-time event.
No, I wish it was.
It's like an onion layer that just you keep peeling and peeling and peeling, the never-ending onion. And so I have so much compassion for those. Like when you say I just went through a season of like doing a lot of shadow work, that's where I am right now for myself. And there's this sense of like, goodness gracious, I thought I knew this aspect of myself, but you're almost getting revealed at it's like another iteration to touch another place that is going to go deeper into healing. So tell us how you started, what started those iterations for you?
Yeah, I think my journey started slowly waking up in 2018. I was just very unhappy and still in Tampa, Florida. Had never left my hometown, traveled a lot, but never lived anywhere else but my hometown. I was working in corporate America around 10 years at this time, climbing my way up at the bank. And I felt like I kept lying to myself that this is what I wanted. And I was like going for these promotions and stuff. And I'm like, I don't care. Like, I don't really care. And I kept making myself feel bad for not being more excited to climb the corporate ladder and to do banking and be successful. And then I woke up and I'm like, I don't have to be excited about this. I have other things that I'm excited about, and it's okay for me to explore these other avenues. I don't have to do what everyone's doing. And so that's what led me to just up and like start forming a plan to quit my job in 2018. I put my house up for rent. And I started getting my certification to become a personal trainer so I could have something to fall back on while I was kind of just figuring it out. And I moved across the country to LA. So,
which, by the way, I think this is a great point to make. You also are a fellow Sagittarius.
Yes, yes. I need to go.
The day after mine, the only sign that would literally pick up and go across the country.
I have to go.
On a whim.
Yeah. And my mom was like, what happened? What? From one day to the next. I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah. My house is already rented. In 2 days, I rented it out, sold all my furniture within 7 days, and I was out.
Yeah.
I put my 2 weeks in at my job before I even passed my test. That's how much I was like. So then, yeah, just going there, that was what kind of woke me up in 2018, that there's more, there's more. This cannot be it. I'm miserable every day. And so from there, that led me to having to step in and start my own business, which was a whole like section of blocks and shadows even there, believing in myself that I could actually do it. And then leading me to meet my partner at the time, which really true catalyst to continuing to peel back the layers, because relationships are our greatest teachers.
Yeah.
And it's the most common, it's the most like similar to our relationship with our parents.
Yeah.
So that really cracked me open, that relationship. It really was a mirror for how much I did not love myself and how much I was just allowing certain energy into my life consistently over and over again. It's the same story. And I had my wake up moment. I actually remember the date. It was February 13th, 2021, Valentine's Day weekend. Mm-hmm. And I was at a hotel. We were in a huge fight, going through this toxic cycle of chasing and running and all the different things. And I was in the hotel room kicking and screaming, being in victim mode. I can't believe this. I finally have a partner and now I'm in a hotel by myself being the victim. And then I just stopped and I went and looked in the mirror and I'm like, it's me. I am the common denominator in all of these tumultuous, toxic relationships that I've been in. And I put down the guard and I just put down the mask and I was like, I want to get help. Like, I want to know what's going on.
Wow.
So it was, yeah, it was finally just a moment of like, I can't fight this anymore.
Yeah. And had you, I want to ask you, because I had the same experience with that phrase that you said, I am the common denominator. The first time I ever heard that was with Mark Groves. I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Groves' work. Sure. And he said that, and I got pissed because I was still so much in my victim mentality that when I first heard him say that, I was like, how dare he?
Yes.
The audacity to say that I am the common denominator in all of my relationships is okay. So yeah. And then once I started to examine that, it led to the, he's not wrong. Yeah, that's so true.
And that's our shadow self. That's our shadow self that comes out in these relationships. And that's the part of us that so desperately wants to be seen in love, which is why that mask slips. Like, it comes out of the shadows eventually because it is a part of who we are. And so when people say, oh, I just want to fully heal, it's not fully healing the shadow. It's just integrating it and having tools to respond versus react when those shadows are triggered, and then being triggered less and less the more comfortable you get with the shadows. That's what it is. They're not getting away from the shadows. They're always going to be a part of us.
I love that. Say that again. You're not healing it. You're integrating it through, as you say, action.
Through action and accepting it and saying, wow, these parts of me I've been ashamed of. I've been ashamed that I have explosive anger. But now when I actually look at it deeper and dissect it, I know why. It's that little girl in me that didn't feel that she could express it. And when you think about the things that were happening, I have every right to be angry. And so once you can validate yourself, you A, no longer need external validation. And then B, you start to learn how to regulate because you are talking yourself through the process of why you're angry in the first place, which is what regulation is.
Yes.
And what we didn't learn.
Did not get a good, it didn't get the skill set for that, definitely, or have that provided. So you were in California, you're in this relationship, and then eventually you move back to Florida. Tell us about that.
Yeah. That was in July 2021. Actually, it's coming up on exactly 3 years and like a couple of days, to be honest.
Wow.
And that is when I finally just had enough with the going back and forth. I had broken my own heart enough in that relationship. And I was like, you know what? I got to pack my car up, got to pack my Jeep up. And it's time for me to surrender to this. I cannot hang on to this and I got to go. And so I did like a little mini road trip and I cried and laughed and just went through all these emotions as I drove. At the time I was in Tucson, Arizona. So I drove from Arizona all the way back to Florida by myself with just me and my thoughts on that open road. And it was very confronting and one of the darkest times that I have been through, period. Mm-hmm. Because it was just so much more than just my ex. It was just finally taking the rose-colored glasses off, looking at my family dynamic and like the relationship that I thought I really had with my parents, but didn't. And so it was so heavy.
Yeah. Oh, it's so heavy because it's all at once. It's like once.
It's all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you pull that first layer and it can just come flooding, the clarity of, the through line. Just it's very clear. So you recognize some things about your family. These dynamics come up. They're now conscious. You're driving, you're seeing, okay, wait, these dynamics have existed for a while. Then what? Then what?
Yeah. And so then it's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I need to tell everybody everything. Like I need to just get all this truth out. What is going on? Questioning anger, sadness, just so much grief mm-hmm. and just pain because you're finally acknowledging, wait, I didn't really have this childhood that I'm portraying it myself to have. And all these, you know, statuses and Father's Day cards and all these things that I've written out. Is this what I really feel? Is this the whole truth? And you just, like you said, you start to peel it back. And then for me, it was a lot of questioning. It was a lot of like arguing. I was just angry and wanting to talk. And my family was not ready for it because we were all so comfortable just sweeping this stuff under the rug. So I came in literally like a wrecking ball. Mm. Like, yeah.
Like a Sagittarius wrecking ball.
Yes, that fire came in and I was angry. And I didn't care anymore who I was disrespecting. No, I'm going to be hurt now. I'm done.
Yeah. So it didn't land well.
No.
So did you change the approach? Like clearly.
I did. I came in, I was angry. I had to give my family time. My dad, I've been battling with my dad. I think he's my biggest core wound and he does struggle with narcissistic personality disorder. He has a lot of shadow that he is not wanting to look at. So for him, I didn't expect him to validate me or understand when I started yelling at him. He just blamed me. He did the same thing he always did. So I was like, okay. But my mom, we didn't talk for 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. When I started bringing stuff up to her, she was so emotionally triggered by the things that I was saying that she did not talk to me. And that was where that depression and like the darkness was really kicking in because I knew that I was probably not going to have my dad. But like, I really thought that my mom was going to be able to validate me and to be there and have these conversations. And when she took so long to come around, I was really losing hope. And mm-hmm. I was like, wow, this is what it feels like to really choose yourself. Mm-hmm. It's not always so pretty in the beginning, but I had to.
Yeah.
And yeah, it doesn't always feel good to choose yourself.
Yeah. So eventually she came around and had a conversation with you and then that opened the door.
To her healing journey and her and our conversations. And so we have to give people grace and patience and know that like we're just laying on all these years of stuff. And our, you know, my mom is 73, so she's been suppressing for 73 years.
Yeah.
So now that, you know, at that time, I didn't really understand it. At the time, I was just angry. I just started my journey. I didn't have that compassion yet for my mother at the time. I was just angry. But now I'm like, oh my gosh, I give her so much grace. And I'm just so proud of how much she has stepped into herself and looked into the mirror because that's a long time to suppress, especially from the generation that she was born in.
Yeah.
Lots of pain.
Right. Which is one of the things what you said in the video with her that I saw was the conversation around you used to tell her that you love her and she would always like she just kind of wouldn't even respond. Or would she say, okay,
I hear you. Thank you. Okay. And I took it and it just, I tried to act like it didn't bother me. And I think like one time in either high school or early college, I just lost it. And I said, why can't you say it back? And that's where that anger there is, where they're suppressing it. And it just came out. And my mom was just like, who are you talking to? And, you know?
Yeah.
But now she said it like four times today when I tried to get off the phone with her. I couldn't even get off the phone with her. She wanted to make sure I heard it. And then she had another comment. And she's like, okay, I love you. Okay, I love you.
Oh, I love that. Oh my goodness. So the conversation, when you first talked about it, okay, you say you've got this shadow and for you, shadow, it was not okay to be angry. Now all of a sudden you felt freedom to be angry, but then you recognize maybe that coming out of that anger may not get the outcome that you want. So you had to learn how to navigate calming the nervous system with that anger so that you could communicate what was behind the anger, what was bothering you that's behind the anger to your people, so that to your person, to your family, to your coworker, to anybody who needs to hear your truth. What you're saying isn't don't do it without anger. It's feel your anger, but when you're bringing it to someone, you've worked through that already, navigated that on your own.
Yes. And because in the moment, what a lot of people have a reaction from is the shadow that's unresolved. And so you're not dealing with the anger of what's just happening in that moment. You're dealing with that in the moment and all the other 20 years of stuff that I haven't. So you know what? Let me go ahead and pile all that on too. That's where it comes from. And so that's where you can't even have a moment to respond, and where we just react and we say things that we regret and we do things that get us in trouble. You know, some of us, that shadow has landed us in jail for life, you know?
Yeah.
And so, so now once we feel it and start to get comfortable with it, when the anger naturally arises in your life and someone does something, you do have that space now.
Mm-hmm.
You have the space to respond. And so you don't come out like that big bad wolf. You can just say, hey, that really made me angry. You can just talk how we're talking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's beautiful.
Yes, it is. And leads me to, you can say some uncomfortable truths.
Yes.
In a way that maybe is, you can receive. Somebody might be able to receive a little easier when you're doing that. So your book is called Uncomfortable Truths. And I want to say, I just saw the post that you made a couple of days ago posting some quotes from it. And I got to say, a little warning before you step on my toes first thing in the morning would be great because you came from my soul. Can you tell us, I'm so excited about this book. Can you tell us some uncomfortable truths that might bring us to our shadow, might bring us to grief, might bring us to some things we need to excavate and explore?
Yes. One of the biggest ones that comes to mind, it's actually very simple, is that you have to feel it in order to heal it. You cannot spiritually bypass your grief in this journey. And it's going to come up all over the place and all out of order, but you can no longer continue suppressing and think that you're going to actually feel better. So the grief has to be felt in order for you to process it, understand it, and create new stories.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times our shadow is connected to limited beliefs and stories that are not even true. And until we actually feel the grief, until we actually process it, we don't know what to correct. We don't know how to reprogram.
Right. Right. And unless you're willing to put what's happening subconsciously into your awareness, even. Somebody being able to say, a practice that I know is so incredibly helpful with this is to even ask your people closest to you where the areas are that you might sabotage your connections or that you might hold yourself back or make yourself small might be a good place to begin.
And that is actually such a beautiful question and such a way to integrate shame, because a lot of people don't want to ask that question because they don't want to hear these uncomfortable truths about themselves.
Yeah.
And so that you look at you see, they don't want to hear the uncomfortable truths. And so they don't even bother asking.
Yeah.
And so, like being willing to say, hey, I'm ready for some feedback. Is there a way that I've impacted you in a negative way that you just maybe haven't told you? Do you feel comfortable coming to me about any kind of criticism, or is that anger shadow not as hidden as I thought it was?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, people see us more than we realize.
Oh yeah. Especially the people that we allow to be closest to us.
They see us.
Yeah. And then also talk about mirroring being an invitation to our shadow and what we want other people are revealing through mirroring.
Yeah. Mirroring is huge. I think that projection, even the beautiful things that we see in other people are also things that we sometimes can fail to recognize within ourselves, but also some of the things that bother us from other people and things that literally get under our skin, once we take a look at it and we look in the mirror, we can oftentimes find that we do those same exact things, and who we really are annoyed with or frustrated with is ourselves.
Hmm.
But it's so much easier to project that onto someone else than to hold ourselves accountable, because we live in a society that literally just really conditions us to get away from that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's just second nature to a lot of us.
Yeah. And I think too, when you mentioned, as far as what I thought was the song, I'm all over the place. My brain works faster than my mouth. I learned mirroring was also included of the thing that we judge somebody for is also a mirror to where we may not feel the permission. So for instance, when back in my very strong codependency practicing days, what I would be mirrored back from other people was just an invitation, or like when I would see somebody in my codependency, it was people pleasing. I couldn't say my no confidently, or I couldn't I couldn't speak my no out of more concern for you than for me, is what I would say. But really, it was all just fear of being rejected. But when I would see somebody who was bold in speaking their voice, let's say a woman, because this is a woman, and I would see a woman speaking boldly, I would have this tinge of like, oh, like, why is she doing that? Like, why does she get to do that? And it was, why does she get to do this? But like, well, if I did that, I would be seen as so-and-so and so. Well, that's a story.
Like, yeah,
that's a limiting belief right there to, that's when I was like, oh. So this thing that I judge in them or that makes me feel uncomfortable is truly can be a mirror to where I don't feel I have access to that same dynamic in my own world. And
yes,
points to shadow.
Yes, absolutely. Like for me, I'm healing this now, but I have, you know, some shadows around my sexuality and to certain things that have happened to me. And whenever I see a woman, especially that's very empowered in her sexuality and very just out there, I immediately, just too much. Look, why are you doing so much? And it's just, you're just too much and just calm it down. And that's because I feel so insecure in that part of my life. And I felt so insecure because of experiences and not feeling empowered. And so you're just walking around, just putting it out there. No. And then I fall into that whole way of thinking and be covered up and all this stuff, you know? And so it is so interesting how we do judge the things within ourselves on other people.
And I would say too, like that example, the medicine of that is literally loving the part of you that can be that free and be that. And that is hard work.
Embodying it. What does that look like? You know, for me, it is dancing. And a big part of my healing journey in the beginning, I danced in public. I felt guided. It was so like I was just dancing all around town with my headphones in. It was so healing for me. And something kept telling me, this inner guidance, just be yourself. Just be it. Start dancing. And it really just got me comfortable in that movement.
Oh, yeah. I love that. And what's so funny how did you dance as a little girl? Like, did you?
All the time. I loved dancing all the time. And I loved having a crowd. I loved dancing in public. I've always loved just being like shining my light. Essentially, I've always loved shining my light and showing people that they can just be themselves and you don't have to be drunk or in a bar to dance. You can just dance. It's a sign of happiness, you know?
Yeah. But so at some point in this, I'm sorry, I'm taking a rabbit trail. Like you as a little girl loved to dance, but at some point you received some messaging that was like, it's not safe to be seen in bodies.
Yes.
And that's where you had to tackle that at coming back into adulthood, going backwards and going, where did I pick up that it was uncomfortable or made others uncomfortable or made me uncomfortable to be seen in that full embodiment? And that then connects you back to that love of that embodiment.
I was able to recognize the shame was not mine. Like I had so much shame around this part of myself, and that's because of, you know, the violation and what happened in childhood, and made me feel that I wasn't safe to really embody that because I would attract attention and then maybe something would happen again. So let me shut down so I don't attract. So let me stop shining. Let me stop dancing so that I'm not looked at in a provocative way or anything.
Right.
And so I carry shame for that part of me. And so then doing the shadow work, which is something recently, it just all connected. This grief and this underlying depression that I've always had is because I'm literally dimming these parts that make me so happy because I feel ashamed. And once I actually looked at that shame and that grief, it wasn't mine. It wasn't even mine. It was projected.
And I love that you point out the depression, because I think it's really important for everybody listening. And I'll share this too with me. Like I was just sharing with the women's group that I'm involved in that for the past, I would say 3 months, I have hit a depression at a level because I am I don't know what's happening in the interview.
Same timing for me too.
Yeah.
Same timing.
Yeah. And so other people have been telling me the same thing about their walking. And each person that is, I'm asking follow-up questions. I'm like, are you navigating hard transitions? Are you navigating like loss and things that are shifting your world? And it's almost like you've got to have time to integrate those changes, because what came up for me was the season of life is my oldest child graduating moving out, all the things, and then realizing, oh, I'm going to have stair-step teenagers. I have four, and they'll stair-step out over the next 4 years. And so I'm preemptively looking at, quote, empty nest and navigating that transition. And there's a lot of questions that come up about my future in the next 4 years or in 4 years that truly has brought me to shadow work, which was shocking. I was like, why is this doing that? But
you're making that space now. Making that space as a mother. It's so selfless. So much of your time is making sure that your family's taken care of. And that's why it's one of the hardest jobs in the absolute world. And now you need time to focus on you. And so it's just like, oh, wait, there's some things that you probably are still needing to like resolve.
Right. Well, you mentioned when you moved out to California and having to step into the confidence of start as an entrepreneur and how that brought up shadow. Yeah. It's for me, it's the shadows coming up because I'm going to have to step into something that I don't currently have, a version of myself that I want to be in the future to be able to do what I want to do in 4 years. And that creates shadow. Brings up all my stuff that would be blocks to having that. And then it come back down to, again, shadow work, which I loved when I asked you, what is grief? What has shadow work taught you about grief? I loved your response.
That it is absolutely all over the place. it's not just reserved for, you know, loss and transition. There is grief in so many aspects of our lives that we don't even realize. And, you know, our grief is demanding to be felt, why I think so many people are waking up to it right now and how sad we are. But our grief is, it's not linear. Right. It is not linear. And I think it's just so important that we honor it and give our grief a safe space. It's an honor to be able to feel our feelings. Yeah. It really is.
It really is. And I think that's why I want to create the podcast, is just to be able to make it just an everyday thing. Oh, it's grief. Like everybody could go, okay, I have to face this. I welcome this. It's grief. I can do this.
Yeah. Stop saying I'm fine. Those words, I'm fine, when you don't mean it, can be detrimental if you don't open up. You know, the grief, you can overcome you sometimes. The grief takes over sometimes, and you have to speak about it to release that tension and to know that you're not alone in your suffering and your sadness. And it's okay to be not be okay. It really is.
Yeah. So what are some ways that you say we need to take care of ourselves when we're doing this shadow work?
Okay. So I actually have like a five, like some steps to integrate your shadow work and grief and how to like, first the awareness. You have to be aware of your shadow in order to integrate it. How can you heal something that you're not aware of? So you have to be willing to really be honest with yourself. And then you have to acknowledge the behavior, acknowledge it with compassion that has come from this shadow and, you know, how you've shown up. Then you have to accept your childhood, accept these experiences and these things that have happened that we've wanted to deny because we just don't want to acknowledge that we've been through some really heavy stuff, some of us, you know, some really scary things. And then accountability, which is really painful, holding ourselves accountable for how our shadow has impacted others, even if it wasn't our intention. And then last but not least, taking action to do the exact opposite of what we've done in our shadow, bringing our shadow to light and speaking about it. So talking about your shadows, being confident in your insecurities, meaning like just get comfortable talking about it and know that everybody has it. Go into relationships being honest instead of wearing that mask, building your foundation on truth, allowing yourself to rest. These last 3 months, I have slept and laid down in the bed more than I have in years. And it was because my body was just like enough. So give yourself that grace and compassion. That rest is so productive in this season when we are healing these deep wounds and shadows. And it takes a lot of energy for us to feel.
Yeah.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hydrated.
Yes.
Yeah, it does. It takes a lot to do this work. It's very courageous work. Can you give us some examples of the ones you were working on, the specific shadows as it related to, let's say, your parents? Can you give us an example of the actions that you would integrate that were different than the way that you showed up before?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So with my dad, I wanted him to validate me. I wanted him to hold himself accountable my whole life. And so finally, one of my first steps to integrating the shadow of the anger and the resentment that I felt towards him was going no contact for a little bit. And that was so painful, but I recognized that I could not heal in the environment that continued to trigger me, and that you can't force somebody to grow. So going no contact with him to allow myself to just validate my own anger, scream, talk about it. That's when I started going live a lot and just needing to, realizing I was a verbal processor and I needed to just get it out. And then that's when I realized, oh, I don't need dad to hear me. I just need to hear me. Mm. And that's when everything shifted for me. And I was like, it feels so good to just validate myself. And then through validating myself, other people are like, wow, yeah, that's my experience too. And so that changed the game, and then that allowed me to let go of the anger and then meet him at where he's at finally, to have radical acceptance and to really truly forgive him and accept him for who he is. So now when we have conversations and he may say something that used to trigger me, I literally do not have a response. I'm just like, okay, I just let him say what he needs to say, because I don't have to be right, and I don't care anymore to be right or wrong. I know my truth, and so now I can show up with him and have a more, awesome time without needing to be validated anymore.
Yeah, that's powerful, because that's a huge release of expectation that he can't, he just can't meet.
Can't do it.
Yeah. And then, and the grief, though, that will continue to come up. I'm sure this is a continual grief for you of not being able to have that from him while also being able to give that to yourself.
Yes. No, I'm glad you brought that up, because I wanted to bring that up. When I first made that decision to go no contact, immediately I started feeling grief as if my dad had like passed away. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that I could describe it, even though I don't know what that feels like. Personally, I was feeling like I was just going through this grief, and I started going, listening to music that reminded me of him. I started going to our favorite places and just sitting in like at this park that we love. And I was just crying. And it was me and my inner child finally accepting that we are never probably going to get these experiences that we so desperately have wanted from this man for so long. And that's okay. And it's okay for us to feel sad about that. It's okay to put down the anger and just finally show the deep grief that we have, that we never got to have these experiences with our dad that we desperately really wanted growing up.
Yeah, which is so powerful to get that kind of peace, this side of not being able to have the fully connected in the way that you want, the relationship that you want. That's so powerful. And with your dad now, you said you may not get as triggered over that same thing. Has there been, like, you've seen his own healing, or is he at all made progress? Like, there are things that he's been inspired by you.
Yes. It's funny that you mentioned that, because I just saw him for the first time in a couple months this past Saturday. I don't see him too often. I keep my boundaries. We've never had that relationship where we hang out a lot. And then we've been estranged for years at several different times. So now that we're in this really healthy place and we're in a good place, I see him every couple months, and he is so much softer. Even though he used to be explosive, I can tell that he's starting to think before he speaks. I can tell that when he starts to bring up certain things that he knows used to get us into tiffs, like certain subjects around my mom and stuff, he will just be like, oh, you know, never mind. You know what? And I see it, and I'm like, wow, he's finally let go of needing to challenge everything and just can be, and we can just enjoy being in the park without having to like talk about all these memories that he can't let go of. And I'm seeing him. Oh, and he is really saying how proud he is of me. When I shared of him the book, that was the first time ever where he's like, I am so proud of you. Wow, you really are so smart and intelligent. This is wild. I'm like, this is what I've been trying to show you this whole time. I've been trying to share this with you, but you haven't been available. So the little girl in me, the little girl in me was definitely in the park like, look at this, look at that. Oh, and I made this music. And look, I started going into like this mode where I was like, well, oh, and I made a book and I've written this, and look at my podcast. And he was just like, wow. You know?
It was 5-year-old girl spinning. Look at me, daddy. Look at me, daddy. Yes.
It was definitely like that. Yeah. And it felt great.
That's so wonderful. Such beautiful
Healing affects everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
It really does.
I love that so much. What do you think the impact of the shadow work has been for you with relationships and dating?
Oh my gosh, it has changed the game when it comes to my confidence and my self-esteem and feeling empowered and speaking my truth and setting boundaries. I now know how much I matter. I now have so much compassion for the things that my shortcomings that I still have, my insecurities that I still have. And I finally have the confidence. And I've actually been able to exercise this with some dating that I've done, where I have my voice now when it comes to intimate settings and when it comes to, you know, my no, I have it now. And it is one of the most empowering and liberating chapters after this, just going through the shadow work that I've ever been through. This was a deep one for me, and I peeled through all the layers, and I think that I've really reached like some core stuff. And I have been feeling so confident and inspired writing my book with such flow. This was huge. So yeah, like,
yeah,
it's beautiful on the other side.
On the other side, it has such magnetism. It is so powerful for bringing in what it is that you actually are trying to call in, what you're trying to create in your world.
Yeah. This is where Emerge, this is where my coaching came from. This shadow work that I just went through, that was 3 months, was the inspiration for me helping people doing this deep shadow work course that I'm creating, that I'm just so passionate about right now.
Yeah. Yeah. And I love that, because it's out of that adversity is birthed something that is now in service to other people who need, you know, the support to be able to navigate it.
Rachel, isn't that what alchemy is all about? This is what I say. Like, we can either continue to transfer these stories and these limited beliefs onto the next generation, or we can transmute it and we can inspire other people and lead through our light. And I am making a choice to transmute it, and I can't transmute it without feeling it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so once you feel it, you can turn it into so much power and liberation and abundance.
Yes. And I love the thought of, Kristen, I mean, this is not, it has to be said, you are the first person in your lineage, correct, to be able to do this kind of work and then try and then want to bring that to your family and bring that to your relationships that are the closest to you. That is powerful. That's changing the trajectory of generations is that work.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful and it's challenging and rewarding, but I wouldn't change it for anything. I wouldn't change my experiences that I've gone through. I love the person that I am, and these shadows have shaped this person, and I love who I am. So I wouldn't even change my experiences and the darkness that I went through, because the fulfilling feeling of what I get to do now and help other people is so rewarding in my life.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it fills me up.
Yeah. So with a person who, let's say there's someone listening who kind of maybe understands a little bit that maybe they have some areas in their life that there might be some shadow work that need to be looked at, what do you want to say to the person who's kind of oscillating back and forth about diving deep and peeling back those layers? What would you want them to know?
That they are more resilient and stronger than they realize, and that they are the light in the darkness that they're scared to go into. All they have to do is recognize that and know that what they are scared to look at, they've already experienced. They've already gone through it. Now we're just reconciling. You've already lived it. You've already been through the actual trauma. Now we're just reconciling it. And so you will not be disappointed once you start doing this work. And once you get in and you start to feel these energetic shifts and these frequency upgrades that happen as you continue, you will go into those shadows with like open arms, because you see what's on the other side, and you cap yourself out at the amount of bliss and euphoria and the high highs when it comes to the spectrum of feelings. If you keep avoiding those low lows, you're literally capping yourself out from feeling that euphoria that we're able to feel, because these anchors and these low vibrational feelings that so many of us are scared to feel. So go in and just know that you are the light.
I loved it. I love that. And I love that you say you can't experience those high highs without navigating the duality. The duality. Yeah.
Yeah. So we got to do it. And that's what I'm saying. We're scared of ourselves, essentially. That's what it is. I'm scared of the fact that I have explosive anger. I'm scared of the fact that I can be codependent. I'm scared of these things. But why are we scared? Why are we codependent? Let's find out why so we don't have to be scared anymore. Let's understand ourselves, and their knowledge is power. And, you know, we don't want to, like you said, we don't want to continue just focusing on leaving generational wealth as far as financial. I want to leave generational mental health so that my generations after me actually know what to do with the money that I'm leaving them. It's not just about the land and the money. It's about how are we treating each other? How do we feel about ourselves? That's the generational legacy that I'm most concerned about leaving.
Amen. Yes. Gosh, that's so good. So good. Yeah. And to be very clear, I want to say again to everybody listening, if you choose to go into some of the exploration of shadow work and subconscious and how your behaviors are affecting or sabotaging or distancing you from what it is that you're wanting most, you will experience, it's like a warning label for medicine. You are going to experience like what it's like to go, I call it spiraling down, but you will spiral up. You can spiral up, but you will have this sense of heaviness when you're examining things that are hard to see.
Like, yeah. I have a more spiritual approach to my healing. So we call it the dark night of the soul.
Yes.
And that is where we are just in this dark period of constantly getting triggered and just wanting letting people know that once you open up to this and you're like, okay, I'm ready to heal, I'm ready to see it, just know that you're going to get triggered. And it's going to seem like it's more often, like it's every day, but this is something that's been happening to you all your life, but now you're becoming aware of how these triggers make you feel. And in order for you to heal, you have to be put in the experiences to start embodying your truth. So the triggers are gifts for you to heal. So don't get, you know, try not to get so frustrated, which I know is hard because it is very frustrating at times. Just know this is teaching me something and giving me an opportunity to start embodying the person that I want to be and not who I've always been.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. Therapist of mine that used to say the trigger is the medicine. The trigger
is the medicine.
Yeah.
It is. So get curious, dissect it, don't run from it anymore.
Yeah. And be prepared that it's going to require you to be able to hold some space for some heaviness. And you might feel that sense of in a lot of ways, depression or having to rest a lot or having to, you know, you may be excavating things and memories may be coming forward, and that it's just be gentle with yourself and know that you can also get support and have people that can help you navigate and talk with you through that spiraling up as well.
I like to tell my clients to reparent yourself and be that nurturing mother and father that maybe you didn't have growing up in childhood, but you needed. So when you're feeling that shame, you didn't need to hear more criticism. You needed to hear that everything's going to be okay and that you are lovable and that you are enough. So you need to start saying that to yourself. You can't expect to feel confident and be this amazing best version of yourself when you're constantly still tearing yourself down. It's no longer mom and dad's voice anymore. It's yours. Mm. It's ours.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Oh gosh, there's so many good, there's like little paths that we could take that are nuances from shadow work that are just like, oh, you just want to.
I know, there's so much.
There's so much. Okay, so where can people find you if they want to work with you?
Yes, definitely on my socials. That's where I have a lot of my business at. So on Instagram and TikTok, it is _stayhype. And that is where you can find my link tree. And it has all the ways I do one-on-one coaching calls. I actually am launching a new 3-month coaching program specifically geared around shadow work called Emerge. So emerging from your shadows. And that starts on August 10th. And so that information will be there and you can set up a discovery call with me. And I do private events and sound healing, so many ways. So you can check out all the ways to work with me and my link tree that is on my socials.
Which I'll link all of those in there for everybody to know. And then the next time we're going to hear from you will be an author.
Yes. I have my book and hopefully doing some more public speaking gigs because that's my next transition from content creation. I want to actually get out on the stages, do my TED talk,
Hey, I have connections for the TED Talk if you want to.
This is why I mentioned it. That's because right. I need help. I need some help. I need some help getting started. I'm a little overwhelmed with the logistics. So.
Oh, good. I have some good help for that. Yay.
I'm okay. So nice. Yay. See, I needed to meet you.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. I'm so grateful for you. And I'm so grateful. And if in the future you and your mom want to come on too, we could do a second episode.
Yes. No, I told her about it and she is getting to the point where she's ready. She was dealing with a lot of her stuff and now she's like, I want to be out. I want to do these workshops. I want to talk. And I'm like, okay, so I'll let you know. We'll be in contact and let's set up another session.
Absolutely. I would love that. All right. Well, thank you for being here and for being
thank you so much for having me.
And deep diving with us in the shadow work. And everybody, thank you for listening. And I'll link Kristen's stuff in the show notes so you can find her and see how amazingly beautiful and talented and wise and gracious that she is for yourself. All right. Thanks, everybody, for joining. And we'll talk to you next time.